Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Teachers Podcast. I'm your host, Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are delighted and honored that you have joined us tonight as we really kick off the holidays with Thanksgiving here right behind us and many other holidays coming up for many different faiths. So it's a busy time of the year, and we appreciate so much you taking time out of your schedule to join us each week as we come to you live at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And for those of you who download us, we are oh so grateful to you all. So happy Thanksgiving. Samantha, happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, Deb.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're looking forward to this show with you folks tonight. We're going to switch up a couple of things a little differently, although the topics will be the same. If you're our regular listeners, you know that we typically do a meditation of the week, a crystal of the week, and a tarot card of the week. And I'm actually going to start us off tonight with our meditation. So if it's safe for you to do so, please settle back and get comfortable in the chair in which you are sitting and take a long, slow, deep breath and close your eyes. And take one more long, slow, deep breath. And even if you are in a place right now where there is noise going on around you, just tell yourself that you can listen within. You can listen within. And inside yourself, somewhere deep, deep inside you, there is a place of silence. And in that place of silence, there is comfort and serenity and safety and an honoring of just your breath. So in finding that place of silence, that place of just being, become aware of your breath. And as you become aware of the breath, be aware of taking longer and slower and deeper breaths. And physiologically, what those deep breaths do for you is they lower, of course, your respiration rate, your heart rate, your pulse rate, and you feed oxygen to your brain that gives you time to think, to feel, and to simply be. And those are some keys, that ability to just be in the breath, are some of the keys that we're going to be working with tonight as we talk about using your intuition to get through the holidays. So take another long, slow, deep breath. And imagine that in that place of silence where you can go to just be, there is a soft, glowing, white light. And just allow that white light to get bigger and bigger and bigger so that it fills you and surrounds you, and it begins to radiate outward all around you, around your loved ones and your friends and your neighborhood and your city, and eventually to the whole world, so that from in that place of silence and breath comes a light that radiates to the whole world, filling the whole world with that gentleness and softness that comes from that place of serenity within you. So take another deep breath and open your eyes and come back into the room. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. That was wonderful.
Thanks.
I feel mellow.
Good.
All right. Well, I will move on to our discussion of the crystal of the week. And for this week, I chose green aventurine.
Oh, nice.
Green aventurine is just a wonderful all-purpose stone that is one of the dozen I recommend everybody have in their bag of crystals. It's a heart healer, it's a money generator, and a bringer of good luck. Yes, it really allegedly can do all of that. Green aventurine, when placed on the heart, will help you begin to slowly heal from any grief, regret, or anger, or unforgiveness that you may be dealing with. So it does work wonderfully to help heal your heart. Because it's green, it is a heart chakra stone. When placed in the money corner of your home or carried in your wallet, it is said to attract more money into your life. Now, to find the money corner of your home, you just have to stand inside your house with your back leaning against your front door and look to find the opposite, the furthermost opposite left-hand corner from your front door, and that is your money corner. And you should place either like a green aventurine money tree, you know those crystal trees, Deb?
Mm-hmm.
That
or,
works
or a
really
frog
well there.
With a little coin in his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Green aventurine also makes a great worry stone because it is beneficial to calm your nerves and bring a sense of goodwill to your aura. It's a very peaceful, nurturing stone. If you're going to buy a lottery ticket, all the crystal books I've read say you should do so while holding a piece of green aventurine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. They call it the shamrock of crystals because it's believed to bring so much good luck into your life. When wearing green aventurine, it said that you help attract loyal friends to your life. What I thought was interesting is the name aventurine comes from the phrase aventura, which means by chance.
Oh.
So I suggest that everyone take a chance on green aventurine.
Good. Okay. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are our regular listeners, you know we have been working our way through the traditional Waite Rider Tarot. And we are almost finished with the Suit of Cups in the Minor Arcana. And keep in mind that cups have to do with emotion, with intuition. And so tonight's card or key is the Queen of Cups. And she is a woman who is honest. She is devoted. She is loyal. She represents one who really can be very thoughtful and very kind to other people, but really only to a point. And then she's going to take care of herself and follow her own dreams, her own happiness. So she's a very self-assured woman who is kind, but not overly. If the card appears reversed in a reading to me, it mentions that the person may be dealing with someone who is very intelligent but not necessarily reliable, maybe some dishonesty there. So that's the reading of the card as Waite created it. I find that most often when she appears in a reading for me, she represents usually a mother or a grandmother figure with whom there is a real intense relationship between the querent and that mother figure. If I'm reading for somebody, for example, who's really, really close to their mother, the Queen of Cups will show up. If there's a lot of conflict between the two of them, she sometimes will show up reversed for me.
Would a conflict with a mother ever show up as the Queen of Swords?
You bet.
Okay.
She does that as well, indeed.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Deb.
Sure. Okay. So let's talk about the holidays.
Woohoo. Well, first of all, let's talk about how we can use our intuition to help get us through the holidays.
Okay.
And one thing that we as the psychic teachers like to always pummel into everybody's heads.
Meditate, meditate, meditate.
Yeah. And that's really if you do meditate and you keep your focus on that inner sense of strength and inner knowing, that'll help you, I think, to survive any stress of the holidays. The holidays are so stressful because there's often so much pressure placed on us. Half my neighborhood is already fully decorated.
Every car I passed on the road today had a Christmas tree on top of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I passed one car with a Christmas tree in the boat he was pulling.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, we had our holiday flotilla last night.
Oh, I bet so.
In Wrightsville Beach, so all the boats are decorated, too.
Right.
But then there's also the pressure of getting the Christmas cards out. There's the pressure of getting the Hanukkah gifts bought. There's so many holidays, too, right now at this time, so you don't ever want to leave anybody out. There's the pressure of getting together with friends and families for all the different parties and cocktail events, and then there's the charity events that are expected. I know, for example, in my school, we had to put together a Thanksgiving basket for each of my kids' classes, where we've got the angel trees going, so our school is sponsoring dozens of families, our church is sponsoring dozens of families.
I have a group of women friends we are all getting together and sponsoring a family.
And then there's the Salvation Army people ringing their bells everywhere
you
go. That's a lot of pressure. You feel like you have to give. I didn't write in my blog. I had this student one year. I used to teach English, and we were there to learn English. But it was the holidays, and everybody was so stressed out. And I said, one way that I think is really good to relieve the stress is to just focus on charity. And this is before I had children. And one thing my husband and I did before we had kids that was really, really fun is we didn't buy any presents for each other. We would pick a ton of those angels off the angel trees, and we would just go shopping for kids. And it was just a really, really fun and good time and a meaningful way to, share Christmas. And one of my students said, "Honey, I ain't giving to charity. I am a charity."
Well, I have a couple of things about the whole charity thing during the holidays. And I grew up in a house with a father who played Santa Claus to poor children. And in that magical thinking that children do, it was perfectly normal to me that Santa Claus came to my house, but my daddy dressed up as Santa Claus and went to other children's houses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how kids do.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with that drilled into me from before I could remember. But I also remember being in high school, and there was this woman in the town I lived in who was not a very pleasant person. She was old and crotchety. But our church youth group always insisted that we take this lady a Thanksgiving or Christmas basket. And I said to my youth group leader when I was in high school, "This is really great, but what does she eat the rest of the year?"
Mm-hmm.
And bless my youth group advisor's heart, she said, "What we are from this day forward going to feed her until the day she dies."
Mm-hmm.
And long after I had grown up and left that church, until that woman died, that youth group fed that woman every week. And that's one of the ways to rethink all of that holiday charity stuff, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. I'm not. But I'm saying, golly, what if we were to do that all year long, then
right.
The pressure of just doing during the holidays, I think, is lessened.
Right. Now, when you are intuitive, as those of you listening to this podcast are, I think the holidays can be extra hard because we're sensitive, meaning we pick up on the energy of that stress and chaos and rushing and gotta get this and gotta get this and gotta get that. And so you have to be extra vigilant, I think, during this time period to really protect yourself, to ground yourself, and to give yourself that extra time and space that you need to just kind of deprogram, decompress. Be careful when you go out into the, chaos of shopping. Make sure that you do it in limited times. Know that we intuitives really aren't designed for Black Friday, or is that what it's called?
I certainly don't shop on that day, but yes,
no.
That is what it's called.
I did write a blog piece about how to survive the holidays, and I broke our little tips down into an acronym of FAITH. So I just thought, Deb, that we could start with the first one. The F in FAITH stands for forgive and forget. And I wrote just for the holidays, forgive and forget. My very, very good friend has a wonderful saying where she says, "Do the hard work in the short term for the big payoff in the long term." And I always think that's a really good piece of advice for the holidays. So many people will often choose this time to I don't know, really bring old issues to the forefront, or, you know, pull Band-Aids off of wounds trying to heal. And I just don't understand that. If, for example, you're married and you don't like your spouse's family, this is not the time to die on that hill, so to speak. You know what I mean? This is the time to just kind of say, yes, I can't wait to see your mother. And just go and do it, because the rest of the year you'll enjoy the peace and love and support that you're going to need. So I do think it's important to kind of put up with some of the difficult things in the short term, because throughout the year you'll really reap the benefit of that. Do you want to say anything else about that?
I've got a couple of things to say when you finish. So go ahead with your acronym. And then I'm going to put the whole thing in the chat room for us.
Okay. The A stands for accept people as they are. I just think that's one of the biggest stressors I see all the time, and especially around the holidays. You know, if, for example, you have a family member who loves to do nothing but talk politics, you're not going to change that. And you're certainly not going to change it in a three-hour dinner, you know? So just accept them for who they are, nod, smile, sip your wine, and move to the next person. You know, you're not going to change people. If you have a sister who insists on setting her table to the nines with all the silver and the crystal and the bread plate and, you know, everything done just so, you're not going to change her. You going there with a stack of paper plates saying, just chill out for the holidays, will you, is going to do nothing but add stress. Another important thing about accepting people as they are is accepting you as you are and not worrying at all if what you're doing or serving or saying is the right or wrong thing. Just be who you are and the rest will fall into place. What other people think of you is none of your business.
Right.
I saw so many of my friends this week stressing out. I had one friend who was serving dinner, and she was inviting a brand-new sister-in-law, and she said, I've heard she's a gourmet cook. I heard she studied in France. I'm freaking out. I'm so nervous. I said to her, you're a great cook. Just serve what you normally serve. If she doesn't like it, that's her problem. And she was like, but I heard that she makes stuffing with chestnuts and, you know, herbs that she grew in her. I'm like, well, then let her serve that for you next year. But this year, you make your stovetop stuffing or whatever that you like. And you just, you know, who is it going to serve by you stressing out and worrying? It's only going to hurt your family and the people around you while you're freaking out. So while you're busy accepting people as they are, please focus on accepting yourself as you are too and being very gentle with yourself. The I in faith stands for ignoring mean people. Mean people abound, especially during the holidays. For some reason, the stress of this time can often bring out the worst in the worst people. And sometimes those mean people exist in our very own families. And there are some mean people who are really Scrooges, and they like to incite family arguments. They'll do so by discussing politics, by discussing religion, by bringing up old hurts. And I really believe that it's best at this time period. There are times when you should meet that head on and set your boundaries firmly, but we're just talking about surviving, you know, a Hanukkah dinner, a Thanksgiving meal, a Christmas brunch, okay? We're not talking about setting up the dynamics for the rest of your family life. I think that the way you deal with mean people over the holidays is ignore them. Distract and deflect. So when they come up to you and they say, you know, I overheard Aunt Gemma saying that your stuffing was the worst she'd ever tasted, just say, you know what, I think she's right. At least I can bake a darn good pie. Thanks for telling me. And move on. Do not, you know, just do not melt into their trap, because that will make them happy. And you do not want to make mean people happy. The T in faith stands for take breaks, lots of them. It's very important to find a way that you can take a break from all the family stress and chaos. I was lucky to have a great time with my in-laws over the Thanksgiving break, but I did have a lot of fun just texting my friends, you know, just cute little things my kids were saying to their cousins, I took a picture of all the men fell asleep after Thanksgiving while we, all of us women, as, you know, a.k.a. 1957, were in the kitchen. And I took a picture of all the men on the couch sleeping and texted it to my friends, and, you know, we got a big laugh about that. Those things provide a lot of relief. You know, in the mornings, if you're staying at a family or friend's house, take a walk. You know, get outside, get somewhere alone. If someone has to run and pick up the pizza for a quick meal while you're staying with someone, offer to do it so that you can get some moments by yourself. Make sure, too, that you have a friend that you can really talk with through these holidays, and make sure that you also are a friend to that friend and that you take time to listen to their stress as well. Now, T in Faith for me also stands for talk. This is one of my big pet peeves, Deb. I don't think family members really know how to talk to each other. And I'm not talking about nuclear family members. I'm talking about cousins, aunts, uncles, you know, the whole, what's that word?
Extended family.
Thank you very much. I think we've lost the ability to really talk to each other beyond, hey, how are you? How's the job? What's going on? How old are the kids? What are they into? Are they doing tennis still? Beyond that, I find most people don't really know how to talk. I spent an entire evening with several members of my husband's extended family, and we just did the whole small talk and a three-hour session of karaoke, which was very interesting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I remember thinking, gosh, we are all really fascinating people. Like, everyone there had really cool jobs. And I thought, gosh, we have so much to share and talk about, and yet we're not. And one of my pet peeves, and I'd love to hear from you all if this is your pet peeve too, whenever I go to a party and I meet new people, I feel as though I spend 30, 40, 50 minutes interviewing them. And that person will never ask me a question in return. It boggles my mind. My sister and I talk about this forever because she's...
I'll come back to my thoughts on that because I have some on that too.
Okay, because she's the same as me. We will just talk and, well, how are you? Where are you from? Oh, you grew up there. We find people fascinating, so we'll ask them a ton of questions. And yet, I rarely meet someone who asks me a question. And I don't mean to sound egotistical, but I feel like I have some pretty cool things to share. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a medium. I mean, right there, that's a huge opener to a really interesting discussion. And yet nobody ever asks me those questions, it seems. So talk. And then the H in Faith stands for have fun. Really, let's just not forget that this time is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. You know, my big thing about happiness and having fun is that you just have to make your own fun and find your own happiness. You can't sit back and expect Hallmark to deliver it to you. So every day, try to find something that you look forward to doing that day. Whatever it might be, a really good run, getting a manicure, reading a good book, playing a game of basketball with a friend, whatever it is, just have something each and every day that you can do to look forward to, where you're finding your own piece of happiness in this world. And also don't forget to focus on the meaning behind all of the holidays that we're celebrating. It's not about money. If you can't afford a gift for someone, don't buy it. Really limit what you can, you know, really do your budget and limit that. If someone buys you a gift and you did not buy them a gift, do not freak out, stress out, or do not run out and get them a gift in return. A simple thank you followed by a card in the mail will suffice appropriately. If someone spends $50 on you, that does not mean you have to spend $50 on them, because one of the biggest stressors in this holiday season is trying to keep up, and there is just no need. The reason behind all of these holidays is spreading the love of the light of this season, not spending money. Right, Deb?
End of sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, you've really hit the nail on the head. You know, in my tradition, of course, my personal holiday during this season is Yule, and that isn't a holiday of spending money at all. It's a holiday of doing exactly what you're suggesting. It's a reminder that the light is coming again. It is the promise and the hope of a new spring. It is when the days begin to be longer.
And so, and it's a time of gathering in, of families sitting around the hearth and telling stories and laughing with each other and being grateful that they're surviving the winter. That's where the tradition comes from. And so if you can keep that focus, that's what's really important. Whether or not the outside of your house looks like the cover of Southern Living magazine is just not the point. Whether or not you've spent $1 zillion on your children or on keeping up with all of those $50 presents isn't the point. And not losing sight of that. And for those of you, particularly those of you who have children, think about what that message is that you're giving your children when there's so much indulgence of them. If you're not helping them to learn about the spirit of giving as well, that's kind of missing the point. It isn't about what we're getting and keeping up with the kid next door, you know?
I started a tradition with my children about 3 years ago. I bought this really pretty gold box. It's just a round hat box I bought at Home Goods. And I put it under the tree the minute we put the tree up, and then I take construction paper and I cut out a bunch of crosses. And I leave them in a basket next to the tree. And every day that my girls do something nice for someone, like just holding the door open for someone or asking someone to play or helping push someone on the swing, whatever it is, picking up a piece of garbage on the playground, they write it on the cross and they put it in that gold box. And that's their gift for Jesus.
Oh.
And it's just a nice way for them to remember that our holiday that we celebrate is about the birth of Christ, not about who can get the best toy, the best clothes, the best whatever.
Right, exactly. And it isn't wrong to break tradition if that doesn't fit for you anymore. If there's a new tradition you'd like to start, the family will get over it. They'll figure it out. It's really okay to say, we're doing it different this year. This year we are eating on paper plates.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking my mom, and I said this, and I'll tell you something that my family did on Thanksgiving that was really lovely, but I remember looking at my mom at some point as it was sheer chaos and there were a zillion people in our house and we were trying to find enough paper plates because there were so many people, when I was a teenager, and I said, Mom, do you think we will ever have a Thanksgiving dinner that looks like that Norman Rockwell painting? And she laughed and she said, honey, we're not inviting him to Thanksgiving dinner. We did a nice thing on Thanksgiving this year with my family, and as we were cooking and preparing and talking and just hanging out and having fun while things were getting organized, we each wrote a part of a prayer and a gratitude list of what we were grateful for this year. And then we read that basically as our blessing for the meal.
Well, that's a nice idea rather than just going around the table.
Exactly. We all read we really took some time to think about what we wanted to say to each other for that blessing. And it was really
That's a great
lovely.
Idea.
Mm-hmm.
Can I share a quick funny story, not
mm-hmm.
about Thanksgiving? A couple of Father's Days ago, I had all the fathers over, my brothers-in-law, my dad, my father-in-law, my husband, and I had them all go around the table and tell a story about their dad. Well, I didn't even think about it, but everyone had lost their father except my husband.
Wow.
And by the end of going around, they were all crying.
Oh, but those are such cathartic tears.
Great idea, Samantha.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. My sister and I told many stories about our parents this weekend. And yes, we cried, but we laughed. And that reminiscing was far more valuable to both of us than any purchase could have possibly been.
Well, and valuable
holidays.
To your parents, too. I always mm-hmm. hear from our loved ones on the other side, you know, honor me with stories.
Oh, indeed. And that was one of the things that we said on Thanksgiving Day, was we were grateful for the knowledge that our parents
were looking down on us and saying, isn't this wonderful? Look how much fun they're having together. And we did. We had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we absolutely did. And the day was lovely. Probably the greatest gift that, and my family and I went to a barrier island off the North Carolina coast for the holiday. And yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, we were frying fish that had been caught 10 minutes before as the sun was setting over that, over this beautiful, beautiful inlet and marshlands as people were riding past us on horses on the beach.
Oh,
and my sister and I shared that moment together. And I can't tell you how beautiful that was
mm-hmm.
and how much that's what I will remember. I will remember that she snuck in a scarf that I know she bought me from some place that she's going to give me for the holidays. And the scarf is neither here nor there. That sunset is the gift
right.
that we did that together. You know, so I think that's really important. So in that process, I want to go back to your FAITH acronym because I love it. I think it's just lovely. Is that at some level with those people who are closest to us, we know them. We really do. We know the good, the bad, and the ugly about them. And it's important not to forget. It's important to remember the pieces of the, those people that we dearly love because we forget that sometimes when we're all under the stress of the holidays and people do irresponsible or unthinking or unkind things. And so that forgive and forget is a really important piece of that. It's just remembering, oh, golly, you know, here it is, the holidays, and they're about to lose their house. And really, if she's snapping at me, it's not really me. And I know that about her. So to really let that go, to use your intuition to be sensitive to what someone else might be feeling at
well,
that moment
in time. And trust your intuition because
you'll get a sense.
We're at the halfway mark, Deb.
Gosh, we are. Oh, boy. Okay, let's stop and take a break. We're the Psychic Teachers, and we are delighted you're listening to us. Thank you so much. You can connect with us on in many different ways. Our website is www.psychicteachers.com, and from there you can link to our individual websites and to Samantha's blog. You can like us on Facebook, and Samantha is very good at remembering to post things where I am not. You can, of course, listen live to this show or download it free from Blog Talk or from iTunes. And we're grateful for those of you who do that each week. And also new on our Psychic Teachers website are downloadable versions of one of our telecourses, and more is coming sometime soon after we get through the holidays probably. But sometime soon. Have I forgotten anything, Samantha?
I don't think so. Oh, I have that holiday special.
Oh, yeah, tell them that.
Yeah, a chakra bag and the chakra CD for $20, which saves you $10.
That chakra meditation CD is lovely.
Thank you. So that makes a nice little gift package as well.
Yeah, good. There you go. Okay, and easy. And Samantha will send it to you. And there you go.
Mm-hmm. And we always offer gift certificates, too.
Yeah, we certainly do for our readings and whatnot. Yeah, indeed.
I think that's everything.
Okay, all right. So so I do think that it is important to remember to be, because that's what intuition really is in many ways. It's about being sensitive.
Uh-huh.
We talk about being asensitive. Well, being sensitive to your own needs and to other people's needs. Because when we ignore our own needs, that's sometimes when we really get into trouble. And, for example, needing to take a break and saying, oh, no, you know, I really can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. Nobody's going to miss you from a room full of people for 10 minutes. Go for a walk. Go to another room. Go do something, you know, even
right.
if it's, you know.
And don't judge yourself for that. I did have a hard time. My husband's family's very outgoing, very talkative, and I'm just I don't know. Would you say I'm not? I mean, I am outgoing. I don't like big groups. I much more prefer to talk to people one on one. And so if everybody's talking in a huge, you know, there are 25 people there. If everyone's talking, I'm just going to sit and observe or listen. And a couple people kept saying, "You're so quiet, Samantha." And a part of me was like, "Oh, I am, aren't I?" But you know what? Then I thought, you know, yeah, I am.
Well, you know, and eventually your family will accept that for being who you are. Yes, we had lots of great togetherness during the holiday. Yes, I rented my own house separate from everyone else.
Right.
So that I had a place to which I could retreat. I thought that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the beach with, by the time Friday got here, it felt like a cast of thousands. There were, I don't know, 12 or 15 of us by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness for shell hunting, because I was off wandering down the beach. And as I was wandering away from the crowd, I heard my sister say to someone, "Oh, she just needs to do this every once in a while. Nothing's wrong." I thought, thank you for knowing
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and some little intuitive tips. I'll mention some, and then you can mention some.
Okay.
One, I think a good little intuitive tip for the holidays is to have a crystal cluster either on the dining room table or near it, so that when everyone is gathering to talk, the conversation is friendly. Because what a crystal cluster will do is it helps people to work as a group.
Right. Right. Indeed. Use it as a centerpiece.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a cluster that is at, would be put a little bit of holly stuff around it and some candles, and golly, what a lovely centerpiece!
Mm-hmm.
And you've got it right there on the dining room table.
You know, send white light to the date of the party, the gathering, the reunion, whatever it is. Surround the mean people with pink light, as we always suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And really try, and just, I think the key thing, too, is if someone is acting really stressed out, try to tune into them and figure out where it's coming from.
Because it's often fear.
Yeah.
And we remember one emotion masks another frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And so what may appear to be stress or anger or frustration or short-temperedness may be fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's often what we mask.
Well, and so many people are, I'd say like the majority of people are fearful. So
uh-huh.
When someone's angry, the other person around that angry person reacts with fear. What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. And then it jumps to defensive. And if you can just approach it from an intuitive, responsive, compassionate point of view of, wow, why is this person so stressed out? Let me try to tune into that. And you might not get, you know, Samantha, he is stressed out because he and his wife have been arguing. You're not going to get that, but you might feel stress at work. You might feel frustration with the kids. You might feel money issues. You might just feel something general, and just trust that.
Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You might feel that person, that family member, is trying so hard to live up to expectations of doing things just so.
That's right.
And if that's what you're picking up, tell them to just relax. It really doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't matter whether or not the fine china is on the table.
We have a great question that came to us in our Psychic Teacher's Gmail account. Do you mind if I switch to that, or do you have anything else you want to say about surviving the holidays?
I do, actually. And can I do just a couple of other quick things?
Yes.
Okay. And just really to kind of wrap that up, but I really do want to talk about the have fun part, because these are the memories that are made each year. Every year during the holidays, those are the times you take away. And so really be very careful that that you have used your ability to make memories that are positive and loving. And I just will close with that.
I think that's a really good point.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a big question. I just wanted to give us like a good 15 minutes to answer it.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
So this comes from Chris. She says, "Dear Deb and Samantha, what is your advice on how to handle intuitive setbacks? Have you ever been wrong in a reading, maybe felt it later or found out later, and how do you handle it? For those of us developing their intuition, what can be done to help repair shaken confidence and faith in the communication?"
Oh, boy.
I know. I thought you'd like that.
Have I ever been wrong in a reading? Yes.
Gee, sorry, Deb. I don't know what that's like.
Oh, thanks, Samantha. It's great hanging out here by myself.
Come on. You wouldn't be a true authentic person if we all are wrong sometimes.
Of course we are. We misinterpret signs. We misinterpret symbols. We're just having an off day. The truth is we may not resonate with the person for whom we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
Our guides may not have gotten the right message. We might not have interpreted the message from our guides, from their guides. I mean, a blue zillion things can go wrong in a reading.
I remember one time I read for a woman who told me she was a skeptic almost before she sat down, and everything I said was wrong.
Oh, I had that in October with a person, yes.
It's a terrible feeling.
It is.
And I remember my guides told me she's not ready to believe yet.
Uh-huh.
And so the information that was sent to me was wrong. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And when mine, the gal that I saw, literally she kept saying, "No, you're wrong. That isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
That is incorrect." I felt like, oh my golly, you know, whatever am I doing here? And I've learned over the years that when that happens, you're right. Sometimes we're just not clicking. I'm not picking up the right stuff. She's got a big wall up. I've got a wall up. I mean, who knows? And so what I have learned to say is, you know, this information may not be accurate or true for a variety of reasons, or it may, in fact, be something that's coming in the future, and you may find later that this information, in fact, is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that's true, and I apologize if it's not.
And for me, I think that's a lovely way to word it, Deb. For me, when the spirits on the other side are talking to me, it's really not a conversation. It's so fast. It's like picture a comic book and imagine holding it in front of someone and flipping through it. You know those not really comic book. You know those books of like the different animation and
move them real fast and it looks like you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the ones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how fast the information comes to me. And I might, out of 100 pages, I might catch 4. Seriously. That's why I kind of get annoyed when I'm reading for someone and they're a talker. Because if they keep talking, I can't focus on the information coming to me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have to, like, just focus and let it go. And, you know, some of the things I get wrong. Like Deb was saying, I read it wrong. I interpret it wrong. I'm trying to think of some specific examples. You know, I know one time I saw Mr. Ed. You know, remember the old TV show?
With the horse?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I saw was that Mr. Ed horse over his little barn stable and the guy next to him. And I said, did your mom like the show Mr. Ed?
Start with the obvious.
Yeah. No. She hardly ever even watched TV. Okay.
Did your mom have horses?
Okay, Deb, that was like the fifth thing I got to.
Oh.
And it finally came that she didn't like horses, but she did have a big dog that looked like a horse that they named Ed. Not Mr. Ed, but Ed. Or Eddie. I think it was Eddie.
Oh, no.
But it was like, really? That's how the information came through? It was just, it's like, I feel like sometimes, you know, my guides are... I get maybe 5 of the puzzle pieces of a puzzle of 100, and I don't know how to put them together. I need the client to help me put the rest of it together, but it's hard, and you know, and it takes a lot of time. In the beginning, I made so many mistakes, and I remember, you'll find, listen to what other people are saying to you, because your guides and your angels will speak to you through other people. And I remember when I was in my intuitive development circle, sometimes I would get hits that were so great that I knew I was talking to someone on the other side. But a lot of the time, I got nothing or really wrong stuff. And I would get very down, and I would think, I'm not going to do this. This is a waste of my time. And I remember one woman who I barely knew came up to me after one class, and she said, Samantha, you're just building your Pictionary. And I said, what? And she said, you're building your Pictionary. Guides speak to us through pictures. They're just building up your pictures. Don't worry. It'll all make sense to you eventually. Just keep practicing.
What a gift.
Yeah.
What a nice gift.
I know.
Wow.
So, what do you suggest, Deb, to someone who has their confidence shaken? Because how many times have I called you? Do you remember that time I ran into that woman and I told her she was having a boy?
Yeah.
And she had the blue stroller and the blue blanket, and then she pulled the blanket down and it was a girl, and I was just mortified. I was so sure I would have bet money that she was having a boy. But all I feel is energy. So if the energy is more masculine, not meaning that the child's going to be, you know, hey, how you doing, I'm Emma, but just that stronger, tough energy, that's how I'll feel it.
Right, exactly.
Can you help me with that one?
Well, yeah. I guess the most important piece of that puzzle of feeling so, how could I be so wrong, is to remember it isn't about you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's not about you. You aren't doing anything except being the conduit. You're the telephone operator. They don't have those anymore, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're plugging into things differently on the switchboard and doing something funky, well, golly, but the real information will come again.
Mm-hmm.
It will come in a different way. The person, if this is information from the other side that the person you're reading for really needs, the other side is going to use somebody other than you. They're going to keep trying to get that information across. And you're not the end-all, be-all.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, you, I, we don't have that much power.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got to say, well, blew that one. Golly, sorry about that. And let it go and forgive yourself.
Good advice.
We are not perfect. We are not perfect. And it's important to tell that.
That's right.
To tell the client that. I mean, that's another piece of it is be honest.
Mm-hmm. I will always say to people, I am some random psychic that you called in North Carolina. Do not make life decisions based on what I'm telling you in this hour.
Oh, my golly, I can't tell you how many times I've said that.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how many times. I do this event for a local fundraiser at Halloween each year, and I remember telling a woman, lady, I am a $10 tarot reader at a children's Halloween carnival. Surely you're not going to make life-changing decisions based on this reading.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really. And I will always say, you know, I never get anything 100% right. It's impossible. But still, my confidence gets shaken still from time to time. It gets better with each year. It really, really does. Because what, just like Deb said, you will start to learn. It's not about you. It's not. You're not out there working your intuition to pat your back.
And we're not supposed to always know everything.
Exactly.
There are always parts of a message or a story that are hidden. There's always irony
mm-hmm.
in this work. And
remember the woman on the other side who lied to me?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that she showed me the Betty Crocker mom?
Yep.
And it turned out she was an alcoholic. I have a lot of people who commit suicide will lie to me sometimes. If they, again, it's not always because, you know, oftentimes if they did end their life out of revenge or shame, sometimes they will hide that from me. So sometimes you'll get things wrong for reasons that are really will always beyond your control.
Right.
But my husband gave me some good advice once. He said, why do you think doctors have... oh, my gosh, Deb, I can't remember any more words. malpractice insurance.
Oh, yeah.
And he said because they make mistakes.
Right.
And he said, you know, who are you to think you're going to be perfect every time? And I thought, that's really true.
Right. You just do the best you can do. Mm-hmm. I bet you there is not a single person listening who has not at some point made a mistake at work.
Mm-hmm.
We make mistakes in our work, too.
Mm-hmm. Remember, and sometimes I've made mistakes. I know it's my guides testing me.
Mm.
Remember that time I think I shared on the radio show where I had three jeans pop through? Three
mm-hmm.
ladies named Jean.
And you wouldn't trust yourself, remember?
No, I would not trust myself. I thought, well, I'm just still sticking with the Jean who left an hour ago.
Uh-huh.
And I knew that was my guides testing me. Do you trust the information you're getting? So sometimes you'll get things wrong because, you know, you're just being put through the ropes. That's why Deb and I always emphasize how important it is to keep a validation journal, so that when you do get your confidence shaken, you can look back and say, well, but I did get this, this, and this right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I did, you know. And sometimes folks will call us ages later and
mm-hmm.
say, oh, you know, I just realized who you were really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll, you know, you and I both will say, well, there's this person here, and this is what we're getting, and blah, 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 about whatever the particular circumstances are. And they'll go, nobody like that. Nope, not ringing a bell at all. And later they'll go home and think, oh, good Lord, they were talking about my Aunt Mabel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Hello, what's Aunt Mabel? I forgot about Aunt Mabel. Because folks often do get kind of almost bumfuzzled when they're in front of us. And so sometimes it's not, and sometimes that happens, and of course we don't get told, so we feel pretty bad about it because we feel like we've just messed up. So we don't always know.
No, we don't. And the bottom line is we're just not supposed to.
No.
And I would be very leery of anyone who pretends to know everything or believes absolutely that the message they're receiving is 100% right. I was watching a documentary the other day on single people who met their partner on, like, those online dating sites.
E-Gads, okay.
It was very depressing. Don't watch it.
I couldn't.
But this one woman it was her 30th birthday, and she went to a psychic for a reading. And the woman told her she never saw her getting married.
Oh, dear.
Can you imagine?
No, that's as bad as the psychics who tell you when they're going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know. She said she went into a depression for a year. Anyway, I just wanted to write that woman and say, who was that lady? Let me write to her and tell her how to be an ethical reader. So you can't put, you just can't put all your eggs in one basket. When you're getting a reading, you can't believe everything 100%. If it resonates for you, if it feels right, then it's right.
Right.
If it doesn't resonate for you, then it's not. And when you are giving the reading, you have to really practice on stepping yourself aside. When I do a reading, what I do is I ground myself, I put the white light, I open my chakras, I spin my chakras, I say my prayers, I really lift my vibration. I say a prayer for my client as well, that this reading is healing and validating for them. And then I imagine myself, like a holographic image of myself, pulling out of my body, and I stick her outside, and I just see myself as white light. And I just ask that, you know, my guides send the information that needs to come through. But I try to pull that ego consciousness away.
I think that prayer, before you do any work for anyone,
mm-hmm.
is absolutely crucial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you remember back in the very first class that you took with me years ago, that was your first homework assignment, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Was to write that prayer that you say every single time you do a reading. Because it's so, I think that's so vital to do exactly what you've just suggested, is that prayer is encompassing for the highest good for everyone concerned. You, the person you're reading for, your guides, the people on the other side who are coming through, that everybody is surrounded in that bubble of light. And I think that when you do that,
the likelihood of a more accurate reading goes up exponentially. It's not, it doesn't always happen, but I mean, certainly there's still times that you do, things get funky, but I think that setting that intention consistently in the same way every time builds a mantra that helps you remember what you're really about here.
Yes, it'll set the intention and hold the space. And I think it's important, too, to have a sense of confidence about what you're doing mingled with a heavy dose of humility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if like one of the things that I'm trying, you know, I try to set goals for myself. One of the goals that I'm working on is trying to get names.
Oh, yeah.
I have a really hard time getting names. And so what I've been doing is just if a name pops into my head, I just go with it. And a lot of the time, most of the time I'm wrong because I don't know why, I don't know, it's my own blockage. I'll always tell clients, oh, I don't get names, so I'm creating that for myself, I know. but I've been doing this
keep
year,
saying that, Samantha, you're not going to get any names.
Exactly. So I've been trying to just go with it. And when I'm right, I get so excited. It's just the most amazing feeling. And when I'm wrong, I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is what I'm seeing. Because sometimes I'll see an image or an idea of the person. Like I said, I don't really see the deceased people, but I'll get a feeling of a beard or an image of a receding hairline or, you know, little things like that that I can use to help further validate what I'm getting. But I still put myself out there. I still put my neck on the line by saying, you know, does the name Preston mean anything to you?
Right. Well, you could be like a friend of ours who gets names and nothing to go with them. And he finds that very frustrating when that happens for him.
Right. Well, I mean, that's just a part of the unfolding, too. I mean, more will come.
Right, exactly.
We all have to unfold. We're all budding flowers, and we all have to unfold when, you know, when we are ready.
Right.
I keep asking, you know, to actually see them with my physical eyes more and more and more. And I know my guys are trying so hard to let that happen, and yet every night, you know, when I, what was it, 6 months ago, I woke up and saw something forming in my room, and I screamed no before I was even fully awake. And I just knew that was my guides testing me and saying, you know what, she's not ready to see anything.
She doesn't mean this.
She doesn't mean it. I will be washing dishes, and if my cat, you know, rubs against my ankles, I will jump out of my skin.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I'm such a jumpy, like, I just, you know, so I'm not ready, but I will be ready. I'm working on it. So the point is, you can be doing the work that we are all doing for years and years, like Deb and I have been doing, and still there's so much always to work on. But I think that's the fun of life, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
If
we
were all perfect at this, it would be really boring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And sometimes the challenge of working with the symbols that come and just when that clairsentient thing happens and you just know, and you don't know how you know, but you know it's, and you feel it, your body almost jerks with the knowledge that what you're getting is dead on.
Mm-hmm.
And those times far outweigh the times when, oh, golly, you know, you miss something. So practice, 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 meditate, meditate, meditate.
And can I just say the super fun part of coming out of the psychic closet and calling yourself an intuitive is that you can start to share those hunches and gut feelings with people, and they really trust that. So much more than if you were just, a friend who said, oh, I'm getting a feeling that this is going to go well for you. They might be like, oh, thanks. That's really sweet, Samantha. But when you're a known intuitive and you say, I have a feeling this is going to go really well, they're like, really? Oh, my gosh, thanks. So put yourself out there and just have faith that it'll work out.
Right. And speaking of faith, we're going to do this again next week, right?
That's right.
We're going to do it next week, and then we're going to do every other week in December, as we are both swamped with many holiday events trying to walk our talk here.
On Sunday.
Yes, that's right. It is this year. So, folks, thank you so much for being with us. We hope this has been helpful to you, and
please
we look forward
to sending us your emails.
Yeah.
I love questions like that.
That was great, and we look forward to talking with you all again next week. So, everyone, have a blessed week.
You all do the same, and take good care.
Okay, good night.
Thanks.